The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Ben Folds.
That's right, Ben Folds is here, Ed. He's brought an entire orchestra.
Oh, that's good.
He doesn't go anywhere without an orchestra now, apparently.
In here.
Thanks for coming in, Ben.
Good to be here.
Do you want to take part in one of our segments? I mean, we're not going to do our normal show, are we, today? We're not going to do which animal would you steal from the zoo.
We might.
Yeah? I don't reckon Ben's going to be into that.
The baboon with the big red ass.
There you go. Popular choice.
The show is away. It's just an all folds hour. It's going to be great, and there's a fair bit of anticipation.
There is a lot of anticipation, but there's been anticipation previously too, and we've been disappointed.
It's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Good morning, everyone. It's me, Tony Martin. It's that man, Ed Cavill.
Hello. Morning.
It's Richard Marsden pushing buttons.
How you doing, Tony?
And looking windswept. And, of course, it's the man we just heard, Ben Folds. Give him a round.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
No, please.
How's this tour going with the big-ass orchestras?
Good. I'm getting big-ass, too.
Are you really?
Yeah, I got this new piano stool to accommodate, and it's good.
See.
But no, the orchestras are amazing. I mean, it's 85 people on stage, and they're all really good.
And are they sort of people who are into your music?
Not necessarily. Some of them are, and some of them aren't. I mean, some of them... It goes from really the ones that really, really are fans to the ones that really, really wish they weren't there. But there's not that many of those, but they're great. I mean, you know, they're pros. They get paid to show up and play no matter what, and they do a great job either way. So,
can you get any trouble with an orchestra?
I wouldn't really, but I've noticed conductors can. Mm. I mean, the conductors, they're like an orchestra is like a lot of really very highly intelligent, creative, childish people.
Right.
And I think it's because they're in a group of people, and if the conductor lets them misbehave, then they just it's like a classroom or something.
Is that right?
But no, they're great fun to play with, and they're all it's just interesting. Shoot, I mean, you know, there's that many great musicians. They're all just so good.
Yeah, but trouble on tour, what I'm leading to is Willie Nelson. Have you seen him? He's been pulled over.
Oh, no.
On the side of the road. Charged with, you never guess. I mean, I don't know how this happens. Possessing marijuana.
No, not Willie.
No, really. Huh, maybe he must not know what that was. He was delivering it for a friend or something. Like
the
that,
bus so. Is driving down the road, and Louisiana police trooper suddenly smells the strong odor of marijuana. Coming from a moving bus. I mean, I remember in Up in Smoke, that happened because the entire van was made of marijuana.
Yeah, so you
understood why Stacey Keach pulled them over.
Absolutely right.
Made sense. But what's coming out of a bus?
I've just got this image of, you know, plumes of smoke flying out of Willie's bus.
I had a guitarist that came through with me one time, and we flew into Sydney, and he had put his weed in his underwear.
Right.
It was a long night.
We had a bloke try to get into Australia recently with 6 rare bird's eggs in his underpants.
Yeah.
And when sprung by customs, tried to claim they were his testicles.
Yeah.
All 6 of them. Anyway, how did we get here? Ben, I remember years ago there was a fantastic bit of footage of you on the old Midday Show. Would you remember the Midday Show? Would you even remember going on it?
No, I do. In fact, last night I saw again the woman who booked me on that show. Because
right.
I had speculated she didn't have a job anymore, but she's doing great.
That was, I think...
sweeping the floor over at Joel.
Fantastic.
She got boned, probably. Was Ray Martin the host in those days? I can't remember who it was.
Jeff Harvey.
But no, Jeff Harvey was the band leader.
Carrie Ann.
Yeah, Carrie Ann, of course. And what did you do? Did you... Like, it's very hard to smash a piano, I find, on stage.
I didn't smash the piano, though. I just smashed the stool. And the funny thing was, is they were really upset about the piano, but there's no damage to the piano. That was my stool. So, sent them a bill for my stool, which was like $35.
I remember that guy because Jeff Harvey used it. Would you be old enough to know who Jeff Harvey is?
He's bearded.
Yeah, that's right.
Bearded and surly a little bit.
You're correct, sir.
Surly a little bit.
Surly, yeah.
That's right. I remember he came on and he did the speech and he's going, there are so many young musicians who we could have had on today who would have been respectful of the piano.
But not this guy.
How many pianos do you get through? I mean, do you cause a lot of piano damage on your tours?
Not really. I mean, I have a piano I've been touring with. It's mine. I've been touring with for about 6 years, and we're retiring it. And it's not because of what you would think. It's simply because I break bass strings with my left hand while I'm playing. You replace the bass string, and you have to replace this pin thing, blah, blah. You replace enough of them, and you've ruined your piano. So I've now ruined my piano. But it wasn't from throwing stools at it.
Right.
Jeff Harvey's piano is in great condition. That was his personal piano. That's why he was so That's why he stepped to me.
And of course, another thing I remember is you were one of the few guests who made it onto the Mick Molloy Show, which was a very, always referred to as short-lived and ill-fated.
How would you describe it, Tone?
Short-lived and ill-fated.
Fantastic.
I left the country before the series ended.
Oh, really?
That's how explosive the whole thing got. I don't think you caused any trouble when you're on that program.
No, well, I got in trouble because my wife had just had twins, and Mick was asking me, we're sitting on the couch, and it's kind of disarming because he's like, it feels like you're sitting at his house with a bunch of his friends with beers.
Yeah, and he wasn't even aware a lot of it was going to air.
I had that feeling. That's what I liked about this show. It was really good. But he's like, yeah, so did you see it all come out? It's like, yeah, the babies came out. I'm like, did you do anything? Like, cut the cord or anything? I said, I sewed her up. And then we went off, and he goes, mate, you got 30 minutes to call your wife in Adelaide now, because there's a... She's not going to think that's funny. And I was like, you think? And he goes, no, she's not going to think that's funny. And I guess you're right. So I called up, and I just stood in the hall and apologized for the next 30 minutes before it came on. She didn't care.
Another victim of the Mick Molloy Show.
Yeah. He made me say it.
And
I was trying to be cool.
What is it with you and Adelaide? Are you technically a citizen of Adelaide, or how long do you spend there a year?
4 months. Four months. Right. And yeah, I guess I am. I like it in Adelaide. That's what the thing is. I live in Adelaide probably as much as I live in Nashville, Tennessee, because I'm always on tour in America. So about even.
And what do you make of Adelaide?
I like it. I mean, I know it's like there's lots of churches and a couple of people got stuffed in the freezer.
Why does that have to give it
a bad name?
Yeah. Why do the shallow bush graves have to spoil it for everybody? Richard, you're an Adelaide resident. I mean, these are all cliches, I'm assuming.
No, they are. But what I like about Ben Folds is that he's one of the few people to actually write a song about Adelaide. And he name checks so many Adelaide icons, like the Moles Bulls and a character called Charlie Hill Smith.
What's the Moles Bulls?
It's an architectural phenomenon.
What is it?
It's an installation.
It's just ugly. It's like right in front of Borders Bookstore on Rundle Mall, and it's these two big silver balls.
What for? Just decoration?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not really sure what they're for.
It's just to let you know this is a tough mall.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, that is the mall's balls.
Yeah.
Don't cause any trouble. All right.
Leave the stools alone, Folds.
Oh, look, you know, as well as pestering musicians about what it says on their Wikipedia page, Ben, we also get through the big news stories on the show.
Oh, good, good.
So I hope
I was wondering where you're going to get to the cold, hard facts.
Yeah, well, we've got that
you're
here.
You're avoiding the facts.
Story from Belgrade here today.
Yes.
A man needed emergency surgery after having sex with a hedgehog. on his doctor's advice.
The sex was on the doctor's advice or the emergency?
They both were, because the man was told that it would cure his premature ejaculation.
By who?
By his doctor.
Oh, right.
Jesus. Zoran Niklovic.
Oh, yes.
And it turns out it wasn't effective.
No.
And he ended up in an operating theatre having several spines removed from his genitalia.
Whoa.
See, I don't know. I mean, if they were to start advertising that for premature ejaculation, that could work.
If you're suffering from premature ejaculation, do yourself and your partner a favour.
Go and f*** a hedgehog.
So you can go the distance.
I don't know. Is that running on this station at the moment?
I think so. High rotation.
I don't think we should drag Ben into that, into our hedgehog segment.
We already have.
Segment. I think we should find out what the listeners
That's a good idea.
Have sent in for Ben Folds. Let's do that next. That's those Dexys Midnight Runners. Come on, Eileen, here at Get This on Triple M, where Ben Folds is sitting in for the entire hour. The Dixies Midnight Runners.
They rushed there at the end. Did you notice that?
They
sped up a bit. They should have had a click track.
They were thinking of our show.
Thank you, Dixies.
They know how much we've got to get through. But there was a great bit of footage of Dixies Midnight Runners, which was shown on a show called Nevermind the Buzzcocks in England, which is kind precursor to our Spicks and Specks.
Mm.
And it was, do you remember?
Why is it called Nevermind the Buzzcocks?
Well, there was a band called Buzzcocks.
Yeah, I know, a great band.
And there was an album called Nevermind the Bollocks.
Oh, right,
combined
there you go.
The two.
Wacky. Yeah, nice.
It's quite simple.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's not that hard to follow.
Well, it is for me. All right, so let's move on, shall we?
It is from the era of Screech, Saved by the Bell.
I know who the Buzzcocks are. I like them.
But they, what happened was the Dexys Midnight Runners, who took themselves real seriously and had a manifesto.
What?
They took that music real seriously. And they did, who did Jackie Wilson said? Is that Van Morrison?
Van Morrison, and then they covered it later on.
Yeah, and it's all, Jackie Wilson said, like that. And the guy who was doing the graphics at the BBC when they were on Top of the Pops thought they were singing Jockey Wilson said. And Jockey Wilson was a huge, fat, white guy who played darts. So Dexys Midnight Runners are out the front going, Jockey Wilson said, really passionately. And there's a fat white bloke with a beer in his hand giving the thumbs up behind them on the wall that they don't know is there. Jockey Wilson said. Oh, that's great moments in rock.
Getting out there.
Ben was just telling us, what was the most you've seen someone canned off the stage? Tommy Lee?
Tommy Lee's rap band. They're like the white metal rap band. And they were playing some Italian festival, and it was this rain of black stuff coming from the Italian crowd. I don't know where they were digging that stuff up from. It was like 15 or 20 minutes of just
junk
stuff.
And what, I don't remember Tommy Lee's rap band.
That song,
that's why. Get
Naked? I think that was a single for, had a single out with that band. It was kind of a Limp Bizkit-y kind of deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And there was
sports metal.
There was this little guy who was the little white rapper guy. He's like, yeah, boy!
Was it as good as, like, your K-Fed? America's Most Hated.
Who's that?
Britney's husband.
Oh, no, I don't know anything about that. K-Fed?
Yeah.
Celebrity. Corn-fed?
Have you ever... You would never have been canned off a stage, I'm assuming, Ben. You wouldn't have caused that much trouble.
I don't even talk about that. Huh? I don't know. It's never happened, but I've always been scared of it.
Yeah.
I'm afraid if I talk about it on the radio, it'll happen to me.
Well, there's a difference between people chucking stuff in appreciation, isn't there? Like, I see water bottles getting thrown at bands that people are obviously digging.
That's right. The beer bottles don't hurt at all if they love you. Yeah, it's
like, I think
it feels good.
There's another.
Is it time, do you think?
What for?
To see what the listeners have got to say.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. Good.
All right. Here we go. I'm pretty nervous about this.
I'm just
getting into position. Here we go. Richard. Make that noise. No, not that. Use the bells. Ben Folds, will you answer questions sent in by email or sometimes by mail, but all without fail are gonna make you smile or piss off for a while. Ben Folds, have you got a moment to enjoy the wit and also the shit that's sent in by Brit, who I admit sounds quite insane. She writes, and I quote, could you say hi to Ben? I met him once in Rundle Mall in Adelaide. He probably remembers because I was with a man in a bright green tracksuit covered in a large amount of his own spew. Ben Folds, will you answer questions even when they're in the form of a song that's gone on too long? Hang on, I've got nothing writ for this bit. Ben Folds, you'll be quite surprised to find that we've had scads, yes, scads of emails, many with dovetails. Ed, could we have the emails, please? Do you have the emails? I was so hoping you'd have none.
I got some.
Ah, try it. That was all designed to catch Ed with his pants down, Ben. I'm sorry you had to sit through that.
Well done, Tony.
Speechless. That was amazing.
My wife is going, you've got to pre-record that. It'll be a train wreck.
I was very worried yesterday.
I was panicking. It was a nightmare.
I'm most nervous I've seen you for anything on this show.
Yeah, except when we were talking about your KFC ad.
But
we do have emails for Ben. Let's hear some of them.
Hello.
Hello.
Sammy.
That's great.
That's more like it. Thank you. Hello, Simon, who's emailed in. Remember yesterday, a couple of days ago, someone emailed in saying, on FM stations, they've normally got the kind of beds underneath. So while people talk, there's music going. So
that's odd. I find that odd.
Yeah, called bed, so that you don't get bored.
It's like you're giving away the Powerball results at all times.
Exactly. The Powerball 16. And Simon's emailed in saying, why not have the music from 90s video games? I said, all right, that sounds fair enough. And then he's given us a suggestion of Bubble Bobble on NES.
How does this apply to Ben Folds? I don't understand.
It doesn't. That's okay.
I don't think Ben, unless Ben composed that music, I don't really see how that works for this segment.
Maybe. Throw it out.
Yeah, let's just play it and see. Okay, yeah. Right. So this is, we just keep talking now. So you just play that, Rich, and we turn it down a little. So now we just keep talking.
Yeah, that,
this is making the show more interesting, I guarantee.
Just having this underneath.
Yeah, because this is Bubble Bobble. For anyone who remembers Bubble Bobble, it was the amazing game where you're a small dragon throwing bubbles of sort of green stuff at bad guys and then flicking them away. See?
Ben just loves this kind of music. I mean, this is pretty much what he does when he's at home on the piano.
Yeah,
and
right.
There's no one
just
around.
Starts with Bubble Bobble. Right, now.
Okay, that is not helping the segment.
Why? That was.
All so right. What is the idea? We're meant to have 90s video game music,
yeah,
while we're talking.
To make things more interesting.
You should read a cancellations list with them.
That, well, I've brought in Tetris. Do you remember Tetris?
Is that your Game Boy, Tony?
Yeah, that is my Game Boy.
How many hours did you spend on that?
Oh, many hours. Actually, in my book, I talk about how you can get so addicted to Tetris that you can actually find yourself driving Tetris.
What do you mean?
Which is where you're driving down the street and there's a hole between two cars and you just have to veer over into the next lane to fill in the gap.
Make the noise, diddly.
Have we got, hang on.
Is it on?
Oh, I think it's on. Is this?
There it is.
Is that really?
Hold the speaker up, Tony. You're holding the screen up to the microphone.
Pardon me.
That's not the music I remember.
That's just going to be annoying under all our secrets.
Well, we're now it
doesn't really apply to Ben.
Well, when we're messing with Paul Oram's head because he's emailed in saying that the Tetris music, he remembers playing when he was 7 or 8, and it still haunts him. He can't sleep at night. What's? Oh, hello, Ben.
Oh, this is Ben's phone. What is that?
Hello. Is that like a Motorola version of Land Down Under?
Yeah.
Now, do you do that just when you're in Australia? Like, if you go to, say, Sweden, would you push a button there and have ABBA coming out?
Sweden? What would I do for Sweden?
There is Sweden.
Ace of Base.
See, if Bubble Bobble was playing under this, it'd be riveting as well.
See, my guess is you don't have any emails for Ben.
Tone.
And you just tried to fashion that one into something that might sort of apply to him. I have actual emails from Ben here.
Well, have you found us a Swedish
tune? I've got something here that I bet you guys never heard of over here.
Okay,
let's hear it.
This was a big hit in America after the events of, well.
Wow.
Shaking her fist?
The Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. Oh, wow, that sounds great. Yeah,
yeah. Mother Freedom ringing her bell.
Because
who is that?
We saw her on the news at one with some asshole. We saw her on the news one night. They were selling these coffee mugs in America with the new four faces on the Mount Rushmore. Faces of freedom.
Guess who?
George Bush would be on there.
Mr. Blair. Chains. Huh? Dick Cheney?
No, because they're from around the world.
Oh, sorry.
So they had to find four people who are participating.
John Howard
is on there.
And then the Spanish dude?
And it was, I think, maybe the Spanish guy.
Yeah, he loves it.
And you're going, you're lucky there was only four people on Mount Rushmore. Because if it had been like seven, they would have had trouble filling the gaps.
They probably figured that was an axis. How many we got to get? Four? Yeah, it'll make an axis. How many in an axis? Four. I can't go higher than four.
Ben Folds, he is an actual email Luke, and he says, me and my friend are going to be seeing the show on Saturday in Melbourne with the orchestra.
Right.
Will you be playing the Bitches song, or is the MSO not inclined to get involved with a song with foul language?
No, there's the language is fine. We didn't spend $10,000 on an arrangement for Bitches Ain't Shit.
Now, just explain.
It's just economics, really.
For people who
had a whip round.
For people who don't know what this song is, could you explain? This is, you've done how many versions of this song?
Well, this is different. This is a Dr. Dre song. It was actually it's Dr. Dre. Yeah, no. Yeah. Mm. So it's a Dr. Dre song from The Chronic called "Bitches Ain't Shit," and I wrote pretty music to it because I thought it was a sad song, and I nothing wrong with what Dre did, but it was a little happy. So, but this is a song about, you know, a guy who's, this is something we can all relate to. Guy has gone to jail.
Yeah.
While he's in jail, his girlfriend, who's a prostitute, has been sleeping with his cousin.
Yeah, right,
that's sad.
Yeah, sure.
Oldest story in the book.
Yeah. So, we won't be playing that. I don't think MSO has a problem with my cussing, but I just didn't invest in in a chart for purchasing shit.
So what do you do? You take your songs and you get your song and then you get an arrangement. You say, I don't know anything.
Yeah, it's an expensive process and it takes a long time too. It's like, you know, you're charting a song, well, you're translating a song to orchestra, and you know, it takes someone that knows what they're doing and they copy it all over the place and we rehearse it and then it's not good enough and then you do it again. Like you have to do multiple versions of it.
Mm. Writes David, Ben, which Australian orchestra kicks the most ass? I mean, you haven't played with all of them yet, have you? Get to Adelaide?
The jury's still out because we've got to get to Adelaide and Melbourne. They're all really different, though. I just played Brisbane. Brisbane was the most, like, on the beat. Oh. They were, like, they're right up on the beat. And Sydney was the most dynamic.
And how much rehearsal do you do with these people?
We get about 3 or 4, and that's really generous of them, because I understand that they normally do 1, so they've been really nice
to
me.
And so is there any element of seat of the pants to this, really?
Yes, absolutely, because you don't know what, you don't really know how everyone's going to react to this 85 people. How they're going to react to the chart when you actually go play. It could be faster, slower, things can happen.
We have a question.
Is anyone playing the gong?
There is a gong, but they prefer you call it a tam-tam.
Is
that an inquiry, like there might be a vacancy?
Yeah.
I think it's the only thing I might be able to get in.
If you got a bloke on the triangle.
No, wasn't the Nickelback guy the tam-tam champion?
Chad Turton, Nate Kruger.
Yeah, the Turt.
Tramp champ.
Tramp champ.
Oh, tramp.
Yeah.
Tramp champ.
Oh, he was a tam-tam champ.
He was a bouncing fool, and then at some point he's gone, no, music's for go. And we're saying, back on the tramp.
Please.
Maybe he didn't give it a fair shot.
No idea where you could go with this.
Here's a question for Ben.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Nicole. What was that band you were in at high school that did the 5 songs about Jesus? What does that mean?
No, it's called Majasha, and our first record was I think it had 8 songs on it, and it was called Party Night, 5 Songs About Jesus.
Hey, when you say first record, I mean you're at high school.
Well, it was a cassette, okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember, everyone in my school had a band.
Were you in a band, Tony? I wasn't in a band, but
we had names for bands, and we had names for all the records.
Okay, which band were you?
Our band was going to be called Frankenheimer. I've got no idea why. We didn't even know who John Frankenheimer was. And I think our album was going to be called We Have to Warn the Others. But that's as far as we got. We got the name of the band. We got the name of the album.
Any track names?
No, we didn't get that far. We would have come up with all the track names and put them in order on the back of the
cover. Did you have a look that you were going to go for?
We didn't know anything about music. That was kind of part of the problem.
That's not a problem these days.
Haircuts first, music second.
People were favouring the Adam Ant look. You know, the sort of washboard kind of Red Indian arrangement out the front. I mean, I think people thought this is a look that's going to last. Feathers and eye makeup. It was the new romantic period, you've got to understand. Would you have lived through the new romantic period, Ben? Did that go to America?
Not really. who was the band that was, it was like Wang Chung.
It was Wang Chung.
It's all about Wang Chung.
That was a bit later, I think. The new romantic period was bands like Ultravox.
Oh, no.
And the Human League.
Oh, I love the Human League.
I remember Human League. Yeah,
I remember that band.
Yes, back in the old days of the near romantics, that was when music was music.
Synthesized and whatnot.
Yes. These bands today with their guitars.
Don't make any sense.
Nowadays, a guitar and a synthesizer were one. That's when music were music.
I reckon we've got to come up with something intelligent to say to Ben Foles. I reckon we might do that during the ads.
Get this.
I mean, they are very good at keeping me in touch with what's going on a bit. I'm particularly on the sort of music front and things like that.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito on Triple M.
That's essential. Around the nation on Triple M, Ben Folds is with us. And what is this video you're telling us about, Ben?
Trapped in the Closet by R. Kelly. It's amazing.
And
it's
how can it be in 16 parts?
Well, maybe it's not 16. It could be 15 or something, 18 or something. I don't know. But it's, it's like it's the same song over and over again, with different words, but you'd have to see it.
What's your favorite video that you've done? The Weird Al one that he did for you?
Yeah, that was good. I don't really like videos, when I do them, I don't like them. So yeah, I mean that was my favorite experience because Al's great. So that one is my favorite. But
you've done a bit of work with Al. Does Al sing on one of the songs?
Yeah,
for Silverman
Al? He sings. He does background vocals on one song.
Wow.
Amazing singer, really.
He's a mystery figure.
He is. Right. It's funny, but people still, you wouldn't think that, like, I don't know, 20 years after you first heard of him, that people would have this odd respect for him.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just like, you really can't, I don't know, he's kind of untouchable. So.
No, it's like when My Bologna came out, 1978, you're going, well, I don't know if Al will be around 20 years' time. I don't know if he's got legs. It's because he writes them so they scan perfectly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of craft goes into those.
The best one I ever saw is I'm fat. That was the first time I ever came across Weird Al.
Man. Oh, that's late period.
I was so happy.
That's late period.
Yeah, that is.
Hang on. It looks to me like Ben's got something of Al's.
Phone's amazing.
On his
phone.
What sort of phone is this?
It's a super American phone.
There we go.
Wow. Can you call up anything? Have you got any Gary Newman in there?
No, I don't.
You need a bigger phone.
I do need a bigger phone, but I've got this one, which I like a lot.
Excuse me, everyone, I have a brief announcement to make. Jesus was black, Ronald Reagan was the devil, and the government is lying about 9/11. Thank you for your time, and good night.
There you go. Hold that call.
Where's that from?
I have no idea. I just start downloading this stuff on tour. I get so bored.
I just think we've got to get... I'm trying to get my ringtone patented, which is for when someone steals your phone.
Yeah.
And so you have... it can only be set off by a certain number. So someone steals your phone, and then what you do is you just call that number.
Okay.
And then your phone just goes, I'm a stolen phone! Help! Help! I'm in this bloke's pocket! You think that'd work?
I'm into it, son.
Hey, what about... so, normally at this point... Ed Cavalier performs a song, but what are we doing today? We're actually going to have some more Ben Folds.
Oh, yeah, right now. Ben's new song. Looking forward to it.
It's not Ben's new song.
Oh, isn't it?
You've got no idea what we're
no
doing.
No idea what I'm doing. I'm sorry, Tone.
It's one of Ben's.
I was searching a band called Manhole on Wikipedia.
Did you find them?
No, I'm still unlucky. Not yet.
That is Sizzle right there.
Oh, is that Sizzle?
So let's Sizzle that
next
up.
Break.
And
okay.
We'll have the Manhole story next on Get This. In the meantime, here's Ben Folds. And he's five. That's Ben Folds. The Ben Folds five. A live version of Brick here. Get This. Ben Folds is with us, and I'd like to think that the other two blokes from the Ben Folds 5 are still touring somewhere as the Ben Folds 4.
As Manhole.
As Manhole! Tell us what the Manhole story is.
We were talking about Manhole on the break. That was a band from, and I don't know how far they got, but they got as far as making a single. They were from my hometown of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It was four guys, like, looking as gay as possible, 70s. It was like 1978, which is a really awkward period, like the late 70s, if you think about it. Like, yes. Just the mustaches and the leather vest and shirtless and waxed chest and stuff. And anyway, so they were all school teachers, and one guy was gay, and he talked the rest of the three into posing as being gay to start this band Manhole because he had like record label interest. So they went up to New York and they recorded this single. They sounded like Humble Pie, actually.
Right.
But they were that was Manhole.
What was the single called?
Manhole.
That's sweet.
Actually, one of the two songs, either the B-side or the A-side, was called Manhole.
That's always good.
Yeah.
It's like Wham Rap. It's always good when you can get the name of your band into one of the songs. And Ed's been trying to look them up on the internet.
Like right? Big Country.
It's gone quiet on Manhole.
Wow. That's too bad. That's something that doesn't need to be, doesn't need to slip through the cracks.
No, it sounds fantastic.
In other gay news, yesterday we were talking about The Sopranos. Series 6 starts tonight on Channel 9.
What time are we talking?
Well, is it on at 10:30? I'd like to think it's on at 10:30.
How do you get that here? What channel would that be?
It's on Channel 9, but they're notorious for treating the HBO shows quite shabbily. Could well be moved to 2 in the morning at any moment.
Sexy new time.
Let's hope enough people watch it.
Do they cut the dirty words out and stuff?
They did the first time round. When they played the first series, they ran it at 9:30, and I got to the end of the first episode of The Sopranos. There were so many cuts in there. I thought he really was in waste management. That's what I thought he was doing. But listen to this from Chris, who says, the character that turns out to be gay in the new series of The Sopranos is... All right. Okay. There was a hint in season 5 when he was seen giving a...
All right.
On a construction site. Yeah, yeah.
This is old. Oh,
that's
okay.
Right, we're behind.
Yeah. You're behind.
Unless you've got, BitTorrent. On the internet,
delicious,
whatever that is.
BitTorrent.
You love the BitTorrent.
I love a BitTorrent.
This has got nothing to do with Ben Folds. Let's get up a mountain. 10:40, that's when The Sopranos goes out tonight. And this Friday, Saturday and Sunday, that's when Ben Folds is gearing up with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra at Hamer Hall. I'm assuming, I think Friday and Saturday might be sold out. Is that right? Yes, but look, tickets still on sale for Sunday.
Mm.
And then, following weekend, Adelaide, get ready. Adelaide.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
the
yeah,
Adelaide Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah, excellent.
They're already packing their attention stride.
I'm sorry, Tobin.
They're getting ready for those.
More to that announcement.
No, that's
it. You looked at me.
You thought I was going to mention the Mercedes-Benz Vito. I could do that if I wanted to. But it's time to get people to call in and ask Ben Fold some questions. Yeah. Why should we have all the asking fun? You might want to ask Ben about some of his rumours. What is it you like to come up with rumours for the internet? Is that right, Ben?
Well, I had a little period of touring where I would tell the audience or ask the audience if they would post, say, the first time it was that I levitated.
You levitated on stage.
I levitated, so I ask everyone, just post on post that I levitated. Now, you can say that you thought you saw strings, or you can say that you thought it was some kind of, you know, trick or this or that, or I may have even fallen a little bit, or whatever you want to say, just add to it, but I levitated, and that'll be our secret. And everyone posted that I levitated, and I was getting phone calls like, wow, you really, how'd you do that? How'd you levitate?
Wow.
You really I got arrested one night, And then
levitating.
Well, I don't know. There would have been a mystery why I set it up. The next night, I was just rude to to people I was signing for, and I looked distracted, and I was with like three blondes.
Yeah.
And then the next night, I'm signing for people. My tour manager taps me on. This is all not true, of course. Mm. Taps me on the shoulder, and then a police car came up. I, without resistance, got in the police car and was arrested and left. And then the promoters for the next night's show were really concerned because they'd heard that I was in jail.
Right.
But my point was is that if it's on the internet, it must be true.
Oh. Yeah.
But it's tough if you are semi, public, quasi-famous. It's tough because anyone can print anything they want to on the internet, and then your family comes back to you like, "What were you doing naked in the street?" And I was like, "I wasn't. Some kid just put that up."
It's the Wikipedia, I think, that does a lot of that.
Good old Wikipedia.
It's so easily vandalized. Our page has been boarded up.
Mm.
It is fun to spread misinformation, though.
Wonderful.
When the Mick Molloy show we were talking about earlier, you were a guest on it. The first episode went out, and there was so much trouble about it. And most people hadn't seen it, and they just heard that there was somebody urinating. And I remember calling up a certain talkback radio show in Melbourne, the one where the bloke goes, "Not on my watch," all the time.
Thankfully.
And I've called up as an elderly gentleman going, "Oh, it was disgusting what was going on in that show, women expelling ping pong balls from their nether regions." And then they just assumed that had actually happened. The host is going, "Okay, well, what's with all this ping pong nonsense on the Mick Molloy program? Call us up if you're outraged."
Have you hit by a ping pong ball in the audience?
The debate went on for ages. And then I got onto that show like two more times.
Yeah,
as the same guy. And then someone called up and went, "Oh, that was just Tony Martin doing an old man voice."
Uh-oh.
And the guy's going, "Oh, right, well, let's see if he's got the guts to call him up as himself." Yeah, he's not going to do that.
No.
then about 4 weeks later, Mick Molloy's mum was listening, and some real old guy called up this bloke on the radio and was floating some nutty theory.
Oh, no.
And the hostess just interrupted, going, hang on, this is just Tony Martin putting on a silly voice, isn't it?
Oh, no.
It was actually some 90-year-old guy.
Oh, poor guy.
So it is fun to spread misinformation.
Hey, it's 133353.
Yeah.
If you've got a question for Mr. Ben Folds.
Do we want to go straight in there, do you reckon? It's illegal. It's technically illegal.
Okay.
It's certainly discouraged at this network.
I like it.
But we like to do it. Yeah, just go straight to the callers.
Yeah, why not? Look, here
could
we are.
Be a crash, but here we go.
I don't mind. Yes. Morning, Billy?
No,
oh, Billy. Oh, right.
He's got another radio show to call.
Robbie. Hey, what's up, Robbie?
Robbie's just waiting till Ben put his headphones
Hello.
On.
That's hey, Robbie,
great.
Are you there?
Yo.
Hey, mate. You're on air, and what's your question for Mr. Ben Folds?
It's not really a question as much.
it's an accusation.
It's more. I spent a small fortune on getting front row tickets for the Sunday gig this week in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering if either during the show or just after you sign a set list and just hand it down to me. I'm not too far away from you.
God, he's getting ahead. This show hasn't been on yet.
Robbie, how will Ben know if it's you? Like, can you wear like an elaborate costume? Can you dress up as a member of Manhole so he knows who you are?
I'll put a toupee on.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot of trouble for Ben to go to during a show, so I think you've really got to costume up to make it work as well.
I'll put my hand up just at the end. How's that?
How about a halter top with red, white, and blue?
All right. No, I'll bring a bulldog scarf then.
There you go. Thank you, Robbie. You know, he's trying to get some stuff. Fair enough. Hello, Ben.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, very good, sir. You sound a bit like Richard Marsden. What's your question for Ben?
Ben, I've been a big fan of yours since the first album came out. I remember seeing you at Martin Place probably about 10 years ago in the pouring rain, and there was a gale playing, a gale blowing even. Do you remember that gig, and what were you thinking?
What was I thinking?
In Sydney?
Your exact thoughts, sir.
Yeah. My exact thoughts. I don't know, what did I look like I was thinking about something?
You didn't look like you were having fun. It was an awesome showcase.
Well, to tell you the truth, I do remember that. Okay. And I wasn't having fun. But it wasn't because of anything that was going on there. No. My life was a living hell. No one knew my pain except for me.
That'll be catalogued on the next album, I'm sure.
I will say, actually, no, I do remember that. That was actually a horrible couple of days. But no, you know, maybe I'll go play there again and get it right next time and think about something else. I'll think about happy shit.
You played well, so it was just
Thank
the
you.
Weather that wasn't the best.
Oh, no, thanks. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Ben. Hello, Luke.
No, Luke.
Luke's not there? Oh, okay. Hang on.
You've cancelled music or ads for this?
Nathan?
We've cancelled everything.
Is Nathan there?
It's just taking callers at random. It's what we like to do. While we're waiting for Nathan, I've got a question for Ben. What is it with you and William Shatner? I mean, that's quite... I remember you came on our show years ago and you'd just done that album, Fear of Pop, and I think you were just about to work with, or you just worked
with... Yeah, we just put that down. That's right. And you guys played... Did you play something like... Rootin' in the Back of a Ute or something?
Yeah, we did play Rootin' in the Back of a Ute. That was a classic by Kevin Bloody Wilson. It's an Australian standard. I tried to maintain that it was actually written by Burt Bacharach.
Did you?
Because it does work to the tune of Rootin' in the Back of a Ute. It works to the tune of Raindrops Keep Falling on Your Head. Try it at home.
I'm sure that's what Kevin was going for.
Yeah.
Did Nathan, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hey, mate. Your question for Mr. Benfold.
I recently moved out to Australia from Nashville, and I was wondering if he's done anything with Fleming and John lately in Nashville.
Who's that?
John wrote two of the scores for the orchestra tour that we're doing.
Yeah. Cool.
So we did that, and we all walked to Starbucks together a few months ago. So.
And you can see that on YouTube.
That's right.
Beautiful, excellent.
John got a double venti mocha, blah, blah, something.
There we go.
So you live in Nashville for a lot of the year, is that right, Ben? Mm-hmm. And then you live in Adelaide. I mean, that must be an interesting schizophrenic existence.
They're kind of similar places in a way.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they are. They're about the same size, and there's a certain sort of kind of artistic, not that ambitious pot smoking person that exists in both places that I think makes the town kind of cool.
And it's like the occasional shallow bush grave in Nashville. Sorry, don't put that to air. We don't need that kind of
Come
thing.
Come on, please.
Who else have we got here?
Nameless. Hello, Nameless. Hello, who's that?
Mr.
Hello, yes.
Who's this, mate?
Ben.
Hi, Ben. Question for Ben.
Yes.
Good question for Ben.
Yes.
Are we live on the air?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello.
Let's go to air.
Yeah, you're on air, bro.
Okay, Ben, I just want to congratulate you about your Jeff Harvey effort.
Thank you.
On the Midday Show. That was outstanding.
It's funny how that moment seems to have stuck around.
Yeah, people have remembered it. Yeah,
And Ben, quickly, after your last Sydney effort, I gave you a CD. Just wondering if you had a listen.
Yeah, it was really good. What was it called?
Oh, 12 months and counting.
12 months and counting.
Yeah, no, the first tracks were pretty crap, but the last ones were all right.
You front-loaded it. That's good. That's a good strategy.
Sydney, in-store soon.
Thank you, Ben.
Email me at BenjaminF9 if you want to get in contact.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, man.
I bet we should wind up this show so we can sort out that business. Wow. Do you get a lot of that, people throwing tapes up on stage?
I get a lot of CDs, and honestly, I don't really listen to many of them, but I don't want to throw them away because I feel guilty throwing them away. So at the end of the tour, I'll have this big, huge bag of CDs. One tour we did listen to, and it was a lot of really good stuff, actually.
There's so much bad stuff that gets sold that when you hear all the stuff that people do that's just sort of random, you realize how much better it is. It's a lot better. I was actually going to start a record label this year, and the only reason I didn't is because I want to keep some semblance of sanity in my life. It was going to be a download only, no record contract. You were going to tick a little box that just said, we split the royalties with you 50-50, and anytime you want to untick the box, you're off the label.
Wow.
And I think it would have been good because I hear so many, people play you something in a car and like, check this out. I'm like, wow, it's really good. What's that? I don't know. I got it on MySpace.
Yeah, it's true.
And you hear so much stuff that's just abysmal that comes from the store. That just makes me wonder if someone doesn't need to just start a record label where if someone has like one good song, like that song you sung earlier.
Yeah.
It's one good song. You shouldn't have to have a record contract and like, you know, shake your ass on TV. If you want to do that, you can, but you shouldn't have to do that.
I've had a record contract, Vin, and the only word that I ever hear is unrecouped. That's the word.
Unrecouped.
That really is. In fact, if I had a record label, it would just be called Unrecouped.
Unrecouped records.
I just recouped.
Did you? How long did it take you to recoup?
I don't know. They said last night I play a TV show, and the guy announced that I'd sold 5 million records worldwide. So after 5 million records, you recoup.
Was that right?
Oh.
We're still unrecouped from an album we did in 1989. In fact, we've got to wind this up because I have to go and mow Michael Ganinski's lawns, like so many others.
Thanks. Well, thank you, Ben Folds.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, Ben. Thanks for sitting through a whole hour with us.
Oh yeah, good to be here.
You thank God you're here tonight too.
Oh yes, thank God you're here on Channel 10. That's going to be great. I'll tell you who's on there.
I can. Matt Newton, Julia Zemiro,
yes.
Ryan Shelbo Shelton,
yes.
And Russ Gilbert.
Oh, that's going to be top view. And The Sopranos on Channel 9. But Ben Folds
is
been to your town. But if you're in Melbourne, there are still tickets for Sunday night at the Arts Centre with that big orchestra, and of course coming to Adelaide next week. Thanks again for coming in, Ben.
Good to be here.
And our key phrase today, I think it was simply manhole. And we'll be back tomorrow with Greg Fleet.
Ah.
And it's all thanks to the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito.